Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to La Femme de Prose, the podcast for Focus on Women magazine. How is everybody today? I am your host, Karen Allen. I am speaking from the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area, and I am very excited about today's guest. Today's guest is Latresa Rice. She has written two books. The one mostly we'll focus on today, though, is called Gate to Life: You Choose the Life That You Shall Experience. Latresa has a resume that I'm going to ask her to elaborate on, but there is so much going on in this woman's background to give her such body of reflection. Does that make any sense? She has thought about her life. She has learned from her life. She has not had an easy life. She is an incredible woman. I'm very excited and thrilled, actually, to introduce you to Latresa, because she's deep. She's deep, and she's got a lot going on. Latresa, welcome to the program.
Hi.
Thank you so much for joining us today. I am so excited to introduce you to our listeners. You choose the life that you shall experience. I told them that this is the one we'll focus on. Is a story, an autobiography, the story of your life, and what a life you've had. To say that it has not been easy is putting it mildly, but you have, just to cut to the chase, risen above it, have become a motivational speaker, an author. You help youth. You are, oh my gosh, I told the audience that I would allow you to give your resume. So before we get to the actual book, can you talk about what you are doing now? Because you are one busy woman.
Yes. Well, I am a fully licensed clinical therapist. I counsel youth on Tuesdays, but I'm also an assistant director of the Upward Bound Math and Science Program at the University of Michigan in Dearborn. I do motivational speaking through It's Time Enterprises. I'm an author. I'm currently working to develop a cell phone game. I have some music that's out. I've copywritten 3 songs. The ringtone for Thank You Haters is already available. So I'm just an all-around lady that's just pursuing every dream that I have.
But you didn't start out your life with a lot of resources to go for these dreams. So really, you have risen above pretty sad odds. Can you talk about, well, let me just say this. You compare yourself and introduce yourself in your book as the heavyweight champion of the world. Why?
Wow. Well, when you think about a heavyweight champion, you had to have some intense obstacles before you to make it there. And so when I think about going through childhood, I'm considered an AIDS orphan. An AIDS orphan is just basically someone who lost one or both parents due to AIDS before they were 18 years old. So you don't have to have the disease to be considered an AIDS orphan. I do not have the disease, but my mom died of AIDS when I was 7 years old. I can remember, as far as her, my father died in 2011. But with my mom, I didn't really see a transition. We were not allowed to go to her funeral when she passed. My grandmother spoke to a psychologist at the time who told her that it wasn't a good idea to bring us to the funeral because my mom didn't look like she looked before, and it was better for us to have the memory of her from before she contracted the virus. My mom was anemic, so when she contracted the HIV virus, she didn't live long with it at all. I believe she lived about 6 months. So it's like she's here one day and then she's gone the next, you know, experiencing that as a youth. So I remember being very angry, and I dealt with depression a lot. I remember having suicidal thoughts and even locking myself in the restroom and planning to attempt suicide. I would have a knife that I would get from the kitchen. And the thing that stopped me from actually doing that was my faith. My great aunt consistently had me reading scriptures whenever I was in rage. I dealt with rage as a youth, and I would have to read a scripture on it. you know, before I can go back out and play, or I may have to read a scripture on it if I was really sad or depressed. I had to read scripture on that. And so I remember hearing the verse, thou shalt not kill, when I was planning to kill myself and going to put the knife back. I've been molested as a youth. I've dealt with financial struggles. My grandmother, she has been a saving grace, if you will, for me. So the running theme of the book, Gate to Life, You Choose the Life You Shall Experience, is the phrase from my grandmother, don't be stupid all your life. At some point, get a clue. That
well, you certainly
phrase...
got that clue. But Latresa, I wanted to say,
yes.
I wanted to say that in your book, your younger years were really difficult and not what you'd call the average child's years. We're going to talk mm-hmm. about your father shortly because I want to tell the viewers that your father is responsible for your mother's AIDS and how you learned about mm-hmm. your father and his lifestyle, and yet you still reconciled with him later, which is a beautiful thing. But what I focused on when reading your book was how all you did was fight. You fought with your fist first, before, at least in your book, before you got to the knife issue. But you fought with your fist, and your grandmother kept trying to rein you in, and of course she beat you to a pulp, which, oh my God. So you already grew up with that kind of violence, which we know nowadays capital punishment does not work and, in fact, is damaging. But back then, and still actually today, people still do it because they think it works. But in any case, you would fight for your sister. You would fight for your friends. You would fight when you found out that a friend was going to jump another friend in the neighborhood, so-called friend, actually you realized they weren't really friends. You would fight, mm-hmm. You try to fight young men. But the thing is that I love about you also is you were molested sexually, but when perverts tried to pick you up in the neighborhood, you sent running because you were violent. You're an amazing woman. Mm-hmm. I don't know how you could do that at such a young age and still and turn into this wonderful, successful, definitely nonviolent, from what I know, woman of today, career woman of today.
I was fighting all the time. Again, depression, when someone's depressed, it's not always just that they're sad. Sometimes it plays out in irritability. So the slightest irritability and aggression and things like that sometimes. So for me, the expression of depression was being real irritable. I mean, when people, if I thought somebody, matter of fact, I remember walking down the street and there were some girls that were laughing across the street. And in my mind, they were laughing at me and I was ready to fight them. And so I remember saying to them, is something funny? You know, it's something you want to say? And they're like, what? Nobody even talking to you? You know, it's a whole big ordeal. But in my mind, because I'm going through so many other things, I'm just angry at everyone, angry at the world, because I didn't know how to properly deal with that anger. And so I was always fighting. But when I look back, I was fighting, most of the time I was defending other people. Other times it was because I felt as if I had no other option. There were different perverts and stuff all in the community that I had to, for me in my mind at that time, it was more, it's either him or me. I have nowhere to go. I have no other option. And so a lot of times I was carrying weapons with me everywhere I walked, whether it was an ink pen that turned into a knife or lighter and oil sheen or whatever. I was looking at survival. But,
well, you were born
again,
in Detroit, so you're from mm-hmm. a neighborhood that was not what you'd call the safest, and you had to look out for yourself, as you say. And you used your incredibly strong internal resources, even though you suffered from depression and you were very angry, which who cannot understand that? You did not have a great life. But I also wanted to mention that along the way, you met with a teacher or two who really helped you to channel that and to grow as a person and as a student. And I think that's what also helped you to get through to college, to get to succeed in getting scholarships and grants to college and to keep going from there. Can you talk about that for a minute?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I have some amazing teachers through the Detroit Public School System. And in elementary, I had some that would allow me time to just sit with them. Throughout middle school, I had some really amazing teachers as well that saw a writing gift, and they helped to cultivate that. And in high school, I had quite a few amazing teachers who I was able to confide in, especially my counselor, Ms. Ingram. She's deceased now, but she was on a scholarship judging committee, and she's the one who actually helped me to know the process that I need to take in order to get all the scholarships that I need. And she gave me advice on how to structure the essays and how to find unique scholarships, and she just really was a major blessing to me. I remember my grandmother saying, "You're going to college, but I can't afford to send you there, so you have to figure it out." And so that's when I started talking to Ms. Ingram about it. And she said, "Oh, yeah, you can go. You're going to go for free." And so I had to structure her resume and get everything set up and go meet people and be social, which I really wasn't as social. So go and do these things, step outside of my comfort zone and get something better. And that's something that I did. So I wound up receiving 5 scholarships at the time. One was a 5-year tuition and fees paid scholarship to the University of Michigan in Dearborn. And then there were
incredible.
The other 4 were different amounts.
Incredible.
Yeah, that
is
good.
Unbelievable, Latresa. Despite your difficult childhood years, and I don't know if we mentioned this to people, but your grandmother essentially raised you. Your mom died when, as you say, when you were very, very young. And your dad, we didn't say, did not live with you. You visited your dad on weekends, correct?
Yes.
He didn't live that far.
Yes, I did.
But you actually had to learn about your dad's lifestyle in an unfortunate incident in his house when you were visiting when you were 13, when you saw him and his lover. And then you sort of, through health education at school, you realized, and you started asking questions of your grandmother especially, that he was bisexual, and he actually passed the disease on to your mom. But, of course, inadvertently, any way you look at it. And so you had to come to terms with him. How did you do that? Because even though he was supportive, as you write in your book, he was not an easy person. And he, again, led to your mother's death, though he didn't mean to. You had a lot to overcome there as a youngster.
Absolutely. It's a lot to overcome, but with God, all things are possible. With my dad, there was a period in which I was very angry with my dad, but I thank God we had an opportunity to really talk through everything. I mean, through how I felt about him with regards to the molestation, through how I felt about things with my mom. And what I discovered was, it's not that he's a horrible person. He was a wonderful person. He's a loving father. He just made a bad choice. And in life, we all make bad choices. Sometimes the choices we make can be detrimental to somebody else. And that's where "you choose the life you shall experience" comes into play, because, listen, no matter what other choices somebody else made, it's going to impact you in some kind of way, especially when you're connected to them. But you don't have to succumb to that choice. And for him, he made a bad choice. He dealt with guilt the entire time. No one really knows the pain and the agony of dealing with guilt from being responsible for someone who you love death all the way up through your years. And when he started sharing those things with me, I felt his heart, and I was able to help him just forgive himself and receive love in that process. I love my dad, so for me, it was really looking at, it's not that he just set out to murder her or something like that. It was more, he made a bad decision.
Of course not. Look, just to make it clear from what you said, your father was not the person who molested you. It was your father.
Absolutely.
Was an uncle.
Yeah, not my dad.
Living in your father's house, though, but not your dad. Yeah, we don't want to make that
clear. Absolutely.
The book's purpose is to get people to see the different gates that they can take, and then they can choose which gate. And you show through your childhood, and you write in the book. I mean, it's an unusually structured book in the sense that you sort of take a time out with each chapter or each moment in time where you had a choice to make. In the beginning, it's violence or nonviolence, and you chose the latter each time until you obviously got older and got a little bit more educated. And I mean, as kids grow up in, you know, puberty and teenage years, there's a lot going on. In any case,
there's a lot going on.
Cases.
Absolutely.
But you wanted to share, talk about what you wanted to share with the reader when you set the book up with that kind of structure.
I structured this book so that it could be a good book to help with decision making. A lot of times our youth, especially youth that people have given up on, or youth who are dealing with a lot of personal struggles, and even some adults who are dealing with some serious personal struggles, we run into opportunities to make a different choice. And so I wanted the book to have different gates, because gates are points of access. Wherever there was an opportunity for me to make a decision, I wanted the reader to be able to be in that moment with me and think through the different questions that could pop up. And then they come up with their own decision of which gate they would choose. And when they turn to the next page, I describe the gate I chose and what were my consequences. Because regardless of which gate you choose, each one of them have consequences connected to that gate. And so are you willing to live that life that's behind the gate? If your answer is no, especially with some of the violent responses, then you have to make a different choice. If you don't want to spend your life in jail and you don't want to lose relationships, and that, you have to make a different choice. So it's designed to help people make wise decisions so that they can live a better life.
You even say on the book that the book provides you with an example of how you can possess your dream despite the obstacles that may be placed before you. And there's a gate to life, and by accessing it, you choose the life that you shall experience, which is the same as the title I mentioned earlier. You,
absolutely.
When did you decide to become a writer, Latrisa?
Well, I have to say I've always been writing. My grandmother, she really blessed me with that. She recognized the gift for writing. And I remember, and I really wanted some Nikes. Grandma, I want some Nikes. And she said, well, Nike is not in my budget. And so you are an excellent writer. You're very creative. I will supply you the first supply, but you're going to have to write something out, sell that, and you earn your own income, and I'll take you to go get what you get your Nikes if you want that. And so we developed a girls group, and we sold jewelry that we made. And I used to draw a lot, too. So I would draw pictures for people, and I'd sell them for 25 cents to $3, depending on how big. And then in high school, for Valentine's Day and Sweetie's Day, I would create poems related to whatever somebody told me about the person that was getting it. And then they would pay me anywhere from $3 to $5. It'd be $10 if they wanted a beer and something else to deliver it to the person. So I earned income that way. I was able to pay for my high school dues. And my senior dues, I paid for them out of pocket. My prom things, I purchased. because we just didn't have the funds. So I would do things to raise money. And her motto was, if you're going to do something, use the talents and abilities that you've been given to earn wealth. And if you do anything illegal, I'm not coming to visit you in jail. So you better do something that you have a gift to do, that you can do in excellence, and I will fund the first part, but you're going to learn how to budget your money. That's one thing I loved about my grandmother. You're going to learn how to budget your money so that you can purchase your own supplies, because this is your business and not mine. And so I love
that
responsibility.
That was your first foray into being an entrepreneur, Latrisa. Not only were you...
Yeah, I was about eight years old.
When I first started, I was about eight. That is, most of us, or many of us, had lemonade stands when we were very young, but you went beyond that, and your entrepreneur-ishness really started very young with that very strong disciplinarian grandmother of yours who never let up, it sounds like. And that was a good thing.
Yeah, thank God for her.
She knew what she could,
yes.
She knew what she could provide, and she knew what she couldn't provide. And she led you in the right direction to be an independent young woman. That's how I read the book. And you ended up doing very well as an entrepreneur, didn't you?
Absolutely. Yes, yes. I'm excited. Because I think about the transition. So it went from just creating jewelry and writing poems to going on to high school and designing different things, posters for people running from homecoming queen and prom king. So I was using the graphic design site and selling that. And that was, I had a whole title for that one. It was called Surprising Gifts and Creations. And at the time, I was engaged to be married at that time. So that was our company. And it was just, I look at each step of the way, there's been some sort of encouragement to pursue my dreams despite the challenges. And so that's what I want to instill in others. You know, it doesn't matter what opposition comes up against you. If you don't quit, you can still make it. There's still hope for you. There's still a destination that you can achieve if you don't succumb to the circumstances that are currently surrounding you.
Well said. You are a very creative person, as we said before. I wanted to just focus for a minute on to mention your other book, Fruit Circle. You're not just a writer of one book, and I think you said you're working on a third, but your other book, Fruit Circle, has to do a bit with nutrition and eating fruit. And you have also, we mentioned earlier, that you are a songwriter and a singer, and you created ringtones. Just take 1 minute and talk about that side of your life for a minute, because that is so cool.
Okay. Awesome. Which part? We're talking about Fruit Circle right now first, and then I'll talk about the ringtone.
Yeah, talk about
Fruit Circle
for a minute. Yeah.
Absolutely. So with Fruit Circle, essential fruit for daily living, this is different from Gate to Life. Fruit Circle is more of a teaching manual. So it teaches youth and others about the importance of eating natural fruit and spiritual fruit every day. That book, actually, I just received word that Walmart is a distributor of that book now on their online store. So I was super excited about that yesterday. I got that word. And that book has been changing lives because in the book, it gives different fruit. Like, for example, I'm just going to read a little piece there about an avocado, because a lot of times people are unaware what the fruits do for your body. So avocados, they reduce blood pressure. They contribute to weight loss, reduce blood sugar spikes. They protect the eyes, and they also reduce the risk of cataracts and muscular degeneration. So just eating the avocado, you can experience great benefits for your body. And so this book is talking about the benefits from the natural fruit. I go through all the different types of natural fruit and what each one does for your body. And this is based on research. I have the source in the book next to it where I got the information from. So this one was livescience.com. So different resources are in here, but it also connects the natural fruit to the spiritual fruit. Why is it so important for us to eat every aspect of the spiritual fruit, of the fruit of the spirit? So we have to eat love first before we can partake of any other aspect, because love allows everything else in the spiritual fruit for us to be able to digest it. So you can handle love suffering when you have love. You can walk in joy when you have love. You can walk in peace when you have love. So it talks about all the other aspects of the fruit of the spirit and why we need to eat that every day just as much as we need to eat each natural fruit every day.
That is beautifully said. I love the fact that you connect the spirituality to it, and that, you know, just like people cook with love and their food tastes better somehow, you know, with their friends and family, and you're saying the same thing, which is a great thing. Well, now, how on earth does somebody just decide to write ringtones, and how did you do that? I know how creative you are because you do a lot of things, but talk about that for a minute.
Well, in elementary school, I was in the choir. I was also in the choir when I was in high school, so I've always loved to sing, and sometimes I hear different songs, like the Lord bless me with different tunes, and I would just sing whatever words come to mind. And so at the time of Thank You Haters, which is, Thank You Haters is based on the scripture that says, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. And so the mindset is, without enemies, there's no table. There's nothing that I can partake of. There's no extra blessings and gifts if haters are not present. And with the ringtone, it's a reminder of the fact that when someone is speaking negatively against you, we're going to turn negativity into positivity. They have a purpose in your life, and they're necessary. And also keep it in mind that the it's not the person. We can appreciate the hate. It's not the person that's actually hating you. It's the spirit they're allowing themselves to be used by. So if they're being jealous, it's jealousy that's your real hater. You know, when you're talking about you're a child of God, it's not the person. You can love the person despite the hate. If you have a proper mindset, a proper perspective on what's actually going on here, instead of looking at it as, oh, this is the worst thing in my life, this person talking about me, or this person is doing this. Look at it as this is an opportunity for me to change the mindset of people. Well, how I act by showing appreciation, by showing love, I can love them back to life. I can love them out of that. You know, we have to look at it as an opportunity for change. And so we appreciate the haters because they have a purpose.
Wow. Okay. That's amazing. I know that your faith is very important to you, and aren't you involved? Are you an ordained minister or becoming one? What's your involvement in the ministry?
I'm a licensed minister. I am actually in the process of taking the test to be an ordained elder. Not that yet. I'm studying. But I am a licensed minister.
Now, you're studying for yet this, and I know you have like 200 master's degrees, and you have a lot of certifications and degrees already. So this is going to be another one, another feather in your hat, Latricia. Before we go, can you talk about the third book and the next, or if you can't talk about it, if it's a secret, tell me what is next for Latricia Rice. I know you are a single woman. You never married that guy, right?
No, never married him. I am single.
Okay, and you never
no
got
children.
Married, so you're single.
Right.
So you out there? Mm-hmm. Are you out there on the market?
I'm dating someone right now. So far, it looks good. We shall see.
Okay. And then, so we'll see.
I don't want to just speak ahead
of
time. Yeah.
Of course not. What's next for you beyond becoming the ordained or the minister? Beyond that, and the third book, if you can talk about that. Tell me about that real quick because we got to go in a couple minutes.
Okay, absolutely. So the third book is called Burning the Help. This is a book that's designed to help new mothers and new fathers avoid burning out their support network. So in this book, I'm going to describe different things that burn out your support, that cause people to not want to help you with your children, and also tools, give them tools and techniques to put out the flames when they start. If someone has burned out their support network, there will be resources in this book that give them additional support that they can actually go to get assistance. So this is a life-changing book as well. So I'm switching over. It's back into a novel area, but this book is designed to help new parents. That if someone's interested in knowing about the book release for that one, because I plan to release that in August of 2019, you can go to burningthehelpbook.com. Just provide me your email, and you can get the email about that. I plan to send out different gifts and other surprises for those who are on that email list. So, again, that website is burningthehelpbook.com. As far as what's coming up in the future, I'm working on developing a cell phone game that is designed to help people turn negativity into positivity. It'll be on the same lines as Angry Birds or something like that, where it's fun, you can earn different things, but it's really good at changing the mindset. So I'm looking at having that release hopefully by next year as well. I know my plan is to have it developed by the end of this year.
Wow. I think I want to mention that you can be found on Instagram and Facebook. And also, one more time, let's say it's your website that for the next book, burningthehelpbook.com?
Book. Yes, ma'am, burningthehelpbook.com. I'm also available for any speaking engagements. If anyone is interested in that, they can reach me at 313-799-4864.
Okay. Give me that number one more time.
Yes, ma'am. It's 313-799-4864.
Speaking engagements and the website Burning the Help, H-E-L-P, as in Peter, right?
Yes, H-E-L-P,
just
yes, ma'am.
Just want to make sure. Okay.
And they have to have book on the end also. It's burningthehelpbook.com.
Okay, wonderful. All right. Well, I appreciate your coming on the show so much, Ms. Latricia Rice. The book is called You Choose the Life That You Shall Experience. Both that book and Fruit Circle are available on Amazon and probably some other places. Get in touch with Latricia if you want her to speak for you or to speak to you. We got to go. Thank you, Latricia. This is Lesson
Thank
Disposed,
you.
And I am Karen Ellen. Thank you. Take care, everybody. See you next time, and bye-bye.